You are now listening to the Legends Lingo podcast, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Here are your hosts, Al and Powder.
All right, everybody, welcome back in Legends Lingo podcast, episode 226, as always, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Make sure to check out everything going on at StudentUnionSports.com, from the daily blogs to the daily podcasts, the weekly blogs and weekly podcasts, and everything else in between. If you're interested in getting started in your sports writing career or just the sports industry in general, contact Liam Smith. We got a good thing going over at Student Union Sports. A lot of podcasts, a lot of good writers, and everything else in between. Alan Nahegan here. No Tom Powder Cadmus today. He is busy right in the thick of things with baseball season and all-star tournaments and everything else. He's a one-man wrecking crew. He does it all. He really does. But we are happy to once again have with us Bobby Thompson of JSN Sporting News. Back with us, I believe, for the third time or fourth time. He's been here multiple times. But Bobby, always a pleasure. Happy birthday, by the way. 31st birthday today.
I appreciate that. Thank you, man. Happy to be here and glad we could do this. Let's do it.
Let's do it is right. So, and I think this is a first for Legends Lingo. I think this is the first time we've ever had someone as a guest on the podcast on their birthday. So that's a little milestone.
It is a milestone, and I cherish that.
Absolutely. You can put that in, like, you know, a frame, and you can put it just like in the back. And then next
behind here.
Exactly. Then next time you come on, you can just frame it, and then we'll put it on the Twitter. It's perfect. Absolutely. It's all work out.
Absolutely.
All right. A lot to talk about. A lot of Patriots news going around. Not a lot of it good. And we're going to get into all that after Bobby leaves. So we're going to have Bobby for about 20 minutes to half an hour, right in that range. Then after, I'll kind of just ramble on about some Celtics and Red Sox tidbits. But the New England Patriots are making storylines, Bobby, and not in a good way. So should we just go with the big story and just open it up right with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do it. All right. Patriots corner Jack Jones was arrested on Friday afternoon after going to Logan Airport. Now, before I tell what happens, Bobby, you're a man that travels, right?
I do.
Ordinarily, what are some things that you would worry about having in your carry-on bag or your bag going through security?
Yeah, I mean, any type of pocket knife, weapon of any sort kind, any bag that I bring with me, I know exactly what's in there. I check it two or three times before. So, yeah, stuff like that.
Stuff like that. Maybe you're worried like your shampoo bottle might be a little too much for, you know, for going through security, going through the conveyor belt. Maybe you're worried about like your deodorant, you know, stuff like that. Jack Jones had two guns in his bag and they were fully loaded. So he was arrested on Friday, arraigned in East Boston court on Tuesday. His next hearing will be on August 18th, which coincidentally is the day before the Patriots' second preseason game against the Green Bay Packers. Jack Jones' attorney, Rosemary, I'm not even going to say this right, Scapiccio, I don't even know if I said that. His lawyer came out today and basically said that the media is making Jack Jones look like a thug and, you know, gang member and all that stuff. So I just want to start with this. And then, Bobby, obviously, I want your opinion, just kind of everything that's going on and what you might be hearing, too. Jack Jones, he has to be smarter than that, right? I mean, think about it. You're going through a major airport. Logan is a big airport when you talk about like major airports like JFK Airport, like O'Hara, and then you talk about like Logan, right?
That, right.
Like you're going through security. Like, I'm going to be careful with how I say this, but since like September 11, 2001, they have cracked down on security, especially in airports. They've made sure that it is airtight to make sure that nothing gets through.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's so to me, I'm just wondering if you didn't know about it, like, think about it. You're like you said, you check your bag, you make sure everything's in there. If you felt something was off about it, if the bag felt heavier, wouldn't you look in the bag and just be like, huh, I wonder if there's something in there that wasn't in there before? Because if I'm Jack Jones, I'm looking in there, I'm like, wait a minute, I can't have these. Like, get these out of here. But also, I know people have been saying too, oh, maybe they were like a family members or maybe they were a friends or something like that. But again, why would you have it in your bag? Like, that is one of the dumbest things you can do. Because again, we talk about like little things like, you know, like you said, a pocket knife or, you know, shampoo or just like little things that are that you need when you travel. And you got to make sure that they're the right size and make sure you don't have it in there at all, like the pocket knife and everything else. Why would you think it's okay? And how did you think you were going to get through security having two loaded guns in your bag? I don't know. I think it's dumb. I think it's selfish. There's a lot of words that I could describe this situation, but Bobby, I'm done rambling. I want to hear from you. Just thoughts on this Jack Jones situation. And then we'll talk about some other things that could allude to the Patriots' future because of this. So go ahead.
Well, first, it's unfortunate. It definitely is. You know, Jack Jones has had a history of, you know, in college he did multiple things that got him in a bit of trouble. He's a very talented player. He definitely could play in this league. You saw him last year, obviously had a pick six of Aaron Rodgers against the Packers, did pretty well. He had two interceptions. To me, look, is it a boneheaded mistake? Damn right it is. But I said this yesterday. I'm not going to sit here and knock him and saying, you know, oh, you got this guy is just terrible. He's a bad person. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say it's an unfortunate. Do I think he should have checked his bags and everything? Yeah, damn right. Because this is a very, very serious offense. Obviously, last year he was suspended from the team for a dispute with Bill Belichick and trying to get back on his good graces. And now this happens. This is basically a death sentence, I feel like, because the Patriots were counting on him. Basically, the outside corners are rookie Christian Gonzalez, and it was going to be Jack Jones on the outside. So now with that, and basically we're all assuming that he's going to get cut. Nothing's been talked about or set in stone yet, which is probably going to be the outcome because even if he doesn't get cut, he's going to probably be suspended for a good amount of time. So, with this is, I just hope Jack Jones just gets better. That's all I'm hoping. I think he's got great potential. This is going to change his life. He pleaded not guilty. I don't know a lot about it. Like, if he didn't know it was in there, he should have checked it. But, you know, sometimes you just take a bag and you forget something's in there and you go, oh, whoa, wait a minute. There's stuff in here. Now, if he had a permit for it, I don't know if he has permits for those guns. If there is no permit, that's a problem too. So with this, all I'm just saying is I just hope Jack Jones gets better and, you know, he learns his lesson and hopefully he gets another shot at being in the NFL because he does have potential and he does have talent. And, you know, once after you handle this, just put your head down and just go to work and do what you got to do. But I just think that it's, excuse me, it's just an unfortunate situation.
It is unfortunate, and I know I came off pretty strong with the bashing of Jack Jones because you're right. It's a mistake. Like he's young, he's gonna make mistakes. It's a big mistake, but still, he made a mistake, and that's understandable.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Jack Jones remains on the Patriots roster?
No, I don't.
You think they cut him too?
I do. I think this is especially Robert Kraft doesn't, he's tired of his team being in the headlines for the wrong reasons. And things like this is, you know, if this was a strike one type of thing, I think the team would stay with them, suspend them again. We'll see what happens, but I think this is just another strike against a demerit against them. So it's unfortunate. I do think he does get cut.
See, I do too, because Jeff Howe said on Tutcher and Rich this morning that he believes that the Patriots are going to cut him. They're very livid with the situation, understandably so. They're livid with the situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jack Jones, you mentioned it earlier, Bobby. Jack Jones is going to have a big part in this defense this year. He showed flashes again, referring back to the Aaron Rodgers pick six at Lambeau last year.
Yeah.
He's a guy that, if he kept developing with his Patriots team, he was going to be a shutdown corner. And now what nobody's talking about because of all this stuff that's going on with him is how does that affect Christian Gonzalez? Because Christian Gonzalez now is going to have to make sure that he becomes even more of a hit for Bill Belichick than people were hoping for initially. because you're going to have, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're probably going to have Gonzalez on one side. Now John Jones is going to be on another side. You might have Marcus Jones playing some slot corner and maybe even Miles Bryant too. Gosh, I can't believe I just said that. But even so, you really let the Patriots down in this situation. And to your point about Robert Kraft not wanting the Patriots in headlines for bad reasons, like, I'm not saying it's as extreme as this, but look at the Aaron Hernandez situation. When that went out, they cut him right away. Again, I know it's a lot different. You know, Aaron Hernandez was a murderer and everything else and whatever else with that situation. Jack Jones, yeah, he brings guns into airports. But still, again, you don't want this team in headlines for bad reasons. The OTAs were going well. Everything looked like it was hunky-dory. Looked like it's going to be a much better season than 2022. And then, boom, immediately after OTAs are over, you got this story coming out.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It's really sad. But I don't know what's going to happen. I think they're going to cut him, like you said, and I think they should cut him because you don't want to deal with all that aftermath. And I know Bill Belichick's not going to want to deal with that.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, like we talk about, eliminate distractions, and this is obviously a distraction. And it's unfortunate, you know, going back to the Patriots defense that is I'm very excited for. I think a lot of versatility. I think teams are going to really underestimate them, and they're going to show their versatility. Watching mini camp and OTAs, this defense is really going to surprise a lot of people. I'm really excited for it. But, you know, Jonathan Jones is a slot corner. That's where he does his damage. That's it. You know, takes care of the fast guys in the slot. Now you have to have him go to the outside again, or maybe they have Jalen Mills again go to the corner where he was going to move to safety, because obviously we don't have Devin McCourty anymore.
Right.
But, you know, this leaves a huge hole in the Patriots defense for a position that you really need an outside corner, because you have your number one. It's going to be Christian Gonzalez. You were drafted 17th overall to do that. And now you're going to have to see what happens. It's going to be tough. So maybe one of the other guys, Amir Speed, Isaiah Bolden, the rookies, maybe Marcus Jones goes to the outside. We saw him. Hey, he covered DeAndre Hopkins last year against the Cardinals for a few plays. So they do have faith. So we'll see what happens, but very unfortunate situation. I just hope Jack Jones gets better.
I do too. I hope that he learns from this, and looks like he could be facing a 2.5 year at the absolute minimum, 2.5 year prison sentence.
Yeah.
Potentially, I think they set up to 3.5 if there was no permit. I could be wrong on that, but there's a lot of circumstances in place, and you know, just a really bad mistake to someone that unfortunately has had things happen. Like, he's done things in the past too. And if this was a first time thing, I don't know like what the law is in Massachusetts about it, but maybe if he didn't have, you know, prior just things against him, maybe it could have been different. But again, you just got to hope that he gets, like you said, he gets better and that he learns from this, and the Patriots are going to have to move on too. And that's really a shame that Jack Jones isn't going to be a part of that defense. But then again, we could be back here in a couple of weeks and he's still on the roster for some reason. So who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what they're going to do? I agree with you. I think they're going to cut him.
Yeah, I think that's the logical thing to do.
It would seem. It would seem. But
yeah.
All right, let's talk about something else. We'll kind of shift gears. You actually mentioned the name, so we'll bring it up. DeAndre Hopkins. So DeAndre Hopkins had his visit with the Patriots. I believe it was Wednesday into Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's correct, right? Wednesday into Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay, so Wednesday into Thursday, no contract signed, but it looks like Hopkins is going to take his time. And I was reading a couple reports, and I'm actually going to bring up a tweet, Bobby, that you put out, because I agree with this tweet that you had specifically.
Okay.
The Patriots and the Titans both offer something unique to DeAndre Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Patriots offer something unique, they have the quarterback that he wants. They have the stable management that he wants. They have the championship defense that he wants. They have the salary cap room, which he wants because he wants a decent sized deal.
Right.
He has the chance to be the focal point of the offense, be the number one receiver. So why, what more do you need to see? What more needs to happen for you to say, New England is the place for me? Let me sign my name on the dotted line. Let's get to work. Give me the playbook and let's make it happen.
Well, I'll tell you this. To me personally, you know, he spent Wednesday, flew in Wednesday, spent the night with them. And then Thursday morning last week, he was there from early morning to late into the afternoon. And look, the Patriots, every reporter has said this, and this is true. The Patriots don't do visits. They don't do that.
Right.
They brought him in here. Bill Belichick, and I say this all the time, when Bill Belichick loves a player, he's going to do everything in his power to bring him in. And DeAndre Hopkins is one of those guys. I tweeted that picture last week. It was a picture of him hugging Hunter Henry when he was on the Chargers in 2020, and then him shaking Hopkins' hand last year when they played them. And I said, will history repeat itself? We will see. I just think it makes too much sense not to happen. I mean, look, DeAndre Hopkins, obviously he wants to play with Mahomes. Obviously he wants to play with Buffalo. And yes, there is a need for both of those teams at the receiver position. But obviously, they basically are showing you they don't want you. What else do they need to do? What do you need to wait for, in my opinion? Look, the guy doesn't like the practice. Okay, I get it. There's no practice right now. There's none. Nope. You get a break until the end of July. What is the point to wait? You think that something's going to happen within the next 5 weeks? Because training camp, it's the 20th now, so you got 5 weeks, four and a half, if that, till teams report to training camp. So you're telling me there's going to be a drastic change from the Chiefs or Buffalo? I don't think so. When he was released, you could sign him to a contract. If the Bills and the Chiefs wanted him, they would have got on the phone, and right when he was released, oh, let's schedule a visit. They didn't do that. There was two teams that it showed the significant interest, the Titans and the Patriots. And the Patriots' interest has been high since it was reported back in March that the Cardinals were going to move on from him, whether it be releasing him or trading him.
Right.
So personally, I think it's waiting is I have no patience, first of all. So it's ridiculous. I respect what he wants to do, but if there's a mutual like respect and interest from both sides, personally, I think the Patriots should have given him an offer he couldn't refuse last week. Close it out, and now it's done. Now you have your number one receiver. You'd stop playing this waiting game. And honestly, I've said this. I think to me, he wants an Odell Beckham deal. Odell got 1 for 15 with incentives to go up to 18. So compromise. I think he's 31 years old. He could still play at a high level. I still think he's a top five receiver in football. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I would have given him a 2-year, 28 mil, 25 mil guaranteed with incentives to go up to 32 million. That's $16 million per season, basically.
Right.
Okay, there you go. The Patriots are still interested. When Belichick wants a player, he will do what he has to do. I'm sure money's not the issue. The Patriots have so much money right now. I don't think people realize how much money the Patriots have the next 2 years. They have a ton of money. Next year, they are projected to have almost $100 million in cap space. $100 million. They will be exceptionally active in free agency next year because they have to. And why wait another year to look for another receiver? Like, because T. Higgins is a free agent. Mike Evans is a free agent. Those two guys are going to probably get extended by their teams. So what are you going to wait for? It's just a need. DeAndre Hopkins wants to play for a team with a quarterback who loves football. Okay, Mac Jones does that. Is Mac Jones at the level of Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen? Absolutely not. We never said that. We never will think that. No. But does he love football? Does he people respect him? Yes. Is the defense on the Patriots good? Yeah, it is. It's a top five defense in the NFL. And then steady management. The Patriots have very steady management. They do. So it fits all three things he wants for the new team. And DeAndre Hopkins fills a void that's been voided by the Patriots since Randy Moss was there.
Yep.
So It's just a move that needs to happen. I'm tired of waiting. Really hoping it happens. As I really think that's New England's leading that charge. And I do think personally down the road, it's probably going to be sometime in July. I think the Patriots get it done because they know what he brings to the team. And I tweeted this, you bring him on, now defenses have to game plan for him. Yep. When you played the Patriots offense, you didn't game plan for anything. You could go in blind and still win and still have a good day on defense. Now with Bill O'Brien in there, who, by the way, DeAndre Hopkins had his best years with Bill O'Brien. There's no animosity. So going back to an offense that you know you thrived in, a play caller who knows your strengths and weaknesses, who could put you in position on the field so you could get the ball, because when he comes to the team, he will get the ball more than anybody. And when you take him out, that opens up the field for Juju, who's going to be a huge part of our offense. The two tight ends, I think this opens up everything. And then, you know, I just think, I will say this, I do think that Patriots bring in Hopkins, that says the end for Devontae Parker. And I think we could all agree on that, because they get $6.2 million if you let him go with no dead money. So sorry for the long rambling on, but
nah, you're good.
That's my take on DeAndre Hopkins in New England.
No, we love it. And we talked at length about DeAndre Hopkins last week. So I'll just kind of reiterate a couple things. I think the 2 for 28, I think that's a good number. I had right around there. I was 2 for 24, give him $12 million guaranteed each year, and then incentives up to 30. You know, then that gets you pretty much to what Odell is, maybe a little bit less.
Okay.
So right around, we're right around the same ballpark, which is good.
Right.
And then with Hopkins, you can make compromises. Like with practices, have him go, if you need to, I'm just giving an example here, have him one day in a red non-contact jersey. I do think,
I don't mean to cut you off. No, sorry.
You're good.
I do think that Bill Belichick spoke with him, because the majority of the meeting was Hopkins and Belichick talking football.
Right.
So I do think Belichick understands how he is and his age. He's not that old. He's my age. He's 31. He's 2 weeks older than I am, basically. Right. So the thing is that can you compromise on a couple days of practice to, yeah. And I think Bill Belichick at this point in his career is like, you know what, whatever. You bring a different dynamic to this team that we haven't had in a long time. You don't want to practice. We practice 3 days a week. You don't want to practice 1 or 2 days. I don't care. Go ahead. You're still going to light it up in the game, because all you got to do is the game plan. He could go out there and do a walkthrough. There you go. There's practice. There you go. In the NFL, it's more about game planning than practice, in my opinion. Yes. I think it's more, you know, practice is important for college, high school, Pop Warner, Pee Wee, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
In the NFL, yeah, you have practice, but you also get hurt in practice. You want your number one receiver getting hurt in practice? I don't think so. So I think, honestly, if he doesn't want to do that, that's fine. To me, if I'm the head coach, look, you're going to practice. You don't need to practice every day, but you got to be at practice. As long as you're present, I don't care. You're still
right. You can literally, right, with that, just to your point, just to kind of cut back in and kind of just so I don't forget this. You can literally, if you want, DeAndre Hopkins, say, come to the facility. Be, like you said, be present, be at the facility, watch tape.
Go work out. Go ahead. Go ride the bike and watch game film on an iPad against watching film on Jalen Ramsey when you have to play him. That's
exactly. That's still preparing for the game, and that's still practicing. Yeah.
And then,
it's just the mental aspect as opposed to the physical aspect.
What I would probably do is honestly have him for the walkthrough, usually on Thursdays or Fridays, or have him go the first week where they're doing routes with the receivers and quarterbacks. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
You basically know the game plan. You're going to be running routes against a corner. That's it. It's nothing huge. So right. I get it. Practice is important. Because the way you practice is the way you're going to play the game. But listen, DeAndre Hopkins has proven, and his stats and his career proves it, that this guy, no matter where he goes, no matter who he plays with, he's going to light it up. Guy missed six games last year, and he had nearly 70 receptions, over 700 yards last year. Fantastic.
Yeah. Listen, DeAndre Hopkins can bring you something that you haven't had in a long time. So get the deal done. Bring him in here. Let's stop, like, you know, just like tiptoeing around. Do what you have to do. Get him in here. Give him his playbook. And let's be like, okay.
Yep.
Get like, if you want to meet up with Mac, you know, just get on the same page. And that's easy. That's not hard practice. That's just running some routes and, you know, catching a few balls. Just do that. Get it done. Because back to your point about the Bills and the Chiefs, they don't have the salary cap to pay him. That's why they didn't offer him a free agency visit. They know they can't pay him unless you're the Chiefs. The only way you could do is if you restructured Pat Mahomes' contract, which you're not going to do, or Travis Kelce's, which you're not going to do.
Well, what they're going to do is they have one big contract, and that's Chris Jones, and that's going to get done. That's going to free up a lot of cap space. But to me personally, if they were interested in Hopkins, they would have did this a long time ago. They would have did it weeks ago. I don't know if you heard this. They had a deal in place on draft night to send – the Cardinals were going to send Hopkins to the Chiefs, but it fell through, and they drafted Rashee Rice. And now they don't even – they're not even entertaining this. This isn't even a thought in their mind.
I actually didn't hear that.
Yeah, that's what they said. The thing is with that is with the Chiefs is – they like what they have. They feel Kadarius Toney, his play in the Super Bowl, that really is going to – they're really excited for that. If he could stay healthy, he's a very good player. Sky Moore is another guy they really like who's going to see more playing time. Rashee Rice, they drafted him in the second round for a reason. If they didn't believe in him, they wouldn't have done this. And they like what they see in OTAs from him. And, of course, their number one receiver is Travis Kelce. That's it. So – they're going to be just fine with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
But going with the Bills don't have the money, and the Bills also have Stephon Diggs. And Stephon, I don't care what the report that came out today that said he's frustrated that he restructured his deal for Hopkins. I didn't hear anything about that. But to me, that's too many mouths to feed when Josh Allen's going to throw the ball more to Hopkins because – Diggs is going to be double covered and all that, and then Diggs is going to get upset. It's too many mouths to feed. And they also, I think they're fine at receiver because I think Gabe Davis is a fantastic player.
I do too. I like Gabe Davis.
He's going to be a free agent after this year too. So
Belichick.
What's that?
I said Belichick. Get him.
I'll say this. If he doesn't stay in Buffalo, he's got New York Giants written all over him.
Fair enough.
With Brian Daboll, trust me, next year, at this time next year, well, in March, if he's not a Bill, he'll be a Giant, guaranteed. And you'll be like, oh, wow, you were right.
No, I have no doubt about that, especially thriving in Daboll's offense when he was in Buffalo, everything else. No, I get that. No, that makes sense.
And they have a lot of interest in him, too. So, in terms of Hopkins and that, basically his best bet right now is the Titans, where he had a great visit in the Patriots. You didn't see when he was in Tennessee, he took that picture in the limo where they all wined and dined him and all that. He was in Foxborough. He took a picture with Matt Judon,
right.
Who, by the way, is the GOAT in his own. He is love the guy. He does everything and anything on and off the field. And to me, once he took that picture, I'm like, okay, he's coming back. He wouldn't have done this if – he didn't feel he could play it, and he did it in the locker room, nonetheless. Right. You're going in the Patriots' sacred locker room and taking pictures of Matt Judon. I feel like, you know what, he's taking his time, but I feel like Belichick and him have a good rapport, and they're talking and working things out quietly.
Which would be great. And the only way that I could see Hopkins not coming here, Bobby, is if he's waiting it out and then – when it gets closer to training camp, if there's a big injury that happens to a team like the Bills or the Chiefs, that's the only way that I could see Hopkins being like, okay, you guys need a receiver. I'm still out here.
Yep.
Like, let's get something done. That's the only way that I see it. But otherwise, yes, the Patriots have a lot more to offer because look at the Titans situation. Their defense, I don't think is good as the Patriots, truthfully, and I'm not even trying to be biased about it. I truly think that the Titans defense is not as good. You don't really hear about any players that are on that defense that are exceptional. Stable management. They got a new GM literally this, like, in January. brand new. And the quarterback situation, there's three quarterbacks. Sorry, I keep like cutting you off right as you're about to talk. But three quarterbacks in that room. Ryan Tannehill, Will Levis, Malik, what's Malik?
Willis.
Sorry, Malik Willis and Will Levis, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? It's if I'm Hopkins, you know, I like the – it's Nashville. I get it. You know, Vrabel, you know him because he coached defense while you were with Houston. But, look, I'm looking at that team, and I'm looking at the quarterback situation. Listen, you could have a different quarterback play every week, depending on what's going to happen. To me, I think Mac Jones is better than Malik Willis, obviously, and Will Levis is not ready yet. Yep. So, to me, it's just – I think New England makes – too much sense. I also think the factor is Bill Belichick. Juju Smith-Schuster signed with the Patriots. No one even thought he was going. His suitors were the – he chose the Patriots over the Chiefs, knowing that he could have went back to Kansas City and got a ring. Now the Patriots
– another ring. Getting another ring.
Yeah, paying a lot of money. But he said playing for Bill Belichick is something I couldn't pass up. Players want to play for Bill Belichick. I love when people like guys like Rex Ryan who go, oh, no one wants to play for Belichick. Really? That's funny because when you ask players about it, they say, oh, we can't wait to play for Bill.
Right.
So they know what they're getting into, and they talk about the culture fit with Hopkins. Listen, if Hopkins knows the culture, okay, he knows the culture. Bill O'Brien was in there. If he didn't think he could handle it, he wouldn't have accepted a visit.
Correct.
So it's too much sense not to happen. Maybe we'll get lucky in the next few weeks because I'm done. I'm literally, I lose sleep over this. It's I want him here so bad because that's just what he's going to do for this team. He's going to change this offense. And that's another thing I think that's intriguing and unique is that he's the number one receiver, undeniably. He's going to get the ball. The offense is an offense you've been in. You know how to succeed. Bill O'Brien knows everything about you. Bill O'Brien can make a call, look at Hopkins, wink at him, and he'll know what it means, and he'll have a great day. Yep. And, you know, I just really wish that it would have gotten done already so we all could just have a good time. But can't always get what we want. I will say this because people are going to ask about Dalvin Cook and the Patriots. Jeremy Fowler just basically said on ESPN about an hour ago that don't count the Patriots out on doing that. I'm going to say if they can – I don't think that happens. They have Ramondre. What do you need to get Dalvin Cook for? Mm-hmm. But if you could somehow get Dalvin Cook and Hopkins, now, do I think this happens? Absolutely not. And if you had to choose one or the other, it's Hopkins, 100%. But – imagine tag teaming Ramondre and Dalvin Cook.
I know.
We could dream, can't we?
We can. Yeah. Dreaming is great. And one little thing, and I'm scrolling through Twitter just because I want to see if there's any, you know, breakdowns or anything that happened or, you know, breaking news or whatever. Came across this Mac Jones, Josh Allen, first 2 years kind of comparisons. Mac Jones over Josh Allen the first 2 years.
Right.
Better completion percentage, more passing yards, more pass yards per attempt, more pass yards per game, more passing touchdowns, a couple more interceptions, and a better QB rate in the first 2 years compared to Josh Allen's first two years. Why am I saying this? Because if you bring in Hopkins, just like when Stephon Diggs went to Buffalo, which, by the way, Bobby, who was the other team that was in the Stephon Diggs sweepstakes?
Patriots.
The New England Patriots. So the Patriots knew they needed a number one receiver. And if you can get DeAndre Hopkins in here, I guarantee you that Mac Jones will have a jump. Maybe not as big as Josh Allen. Maybe not as flashy as Josh Allen. But a jump will be there, similar to when Josh Allen made his true jump in his third year when getting a number one receiver.
Right.
More incentive to bring in Hopkins.
Yeah. And I also think Bill Belichick understands that now after the dumpster fire that he put this team through last year and setting up your young quarterback to fail. I think he understands that, and that's a great point. Right when the Bills got Stephon Diggs, things changed. Things changed. That's what happens. That's the type of player a number one receiver can bring, a tight end can bring. You know, the Patriots added Gesicki, who's a dangerous receiver in the red zone. The Patriots red zone offense was dead last year. You're going to see a change in that. They get an upgrade over Jacoby Myers. I'm not a big Jacoby Myers guy. Never have been. Nice guy. Just don't think he is that good. Some people might disagree with me. Sorry, but that's my opinion. Juju is a huge upgrade, not only for age, but in production over Jacoby Myers. Now you have the double tight end setback. You get rid of Jonnu Smith's contract. Then bringing in Hopkins, you still have Kendrick Bourne, who I think people shouldn't sleep on him. I think he'll have a nice year after last year wasn't great and he was in the doghouse. We still have Tyquan Thornton too, the speedster. There's a guy who could come in too, who's got speed, who could go on the outside, who could stretch the field. Same with Hopkins. Now, Hopkins isn't fast, but he's got great hands, runs great routes, and demands attention of the entire secondary. Anywhere that, because if he comes to New England, he'll get number six, his college number. So wherever number six lines up, you got to account for him. No matter where he is, no matter what they're doing, you got to account for him. And that just opens up everything for Mac, that if you can't get it to Hopkins and they're going to double him and they're going to have the corner and the safety cover him. Oh, look, over the middle, Juju right there. Oh, look, Hunter Henry. Oh, and Gesicki right there. Pick your poison. I think if you add Hopkins, you better watch out. Teams are going to be losing sleep over, oh, great. Now we got it's Mac Jones. I'm tired of the Mac Jones, excuse my language, shit talk. I think that he was given the shit end of the stick last year. I give him a pass for last year. What he did in his rookie year, he was fantastic. Right when he has a play caller, he's fantastic. And in camp, he has been nothing short of spectacular in OTAs. And he even said that, and he's taking on a leadership role too, talking about, and he said, playing against the Patriots defense is tough. They throw everything, the kitchen sink at you. They throw everything at you, and it's just preparing him for anything on defense and making him better. So I'm excited for this team, but adding Hopkins is just going to exceed expectations. I think the Patriots offense and team overall will be much better with DeAndre Hopkins a part of it.
I do too. Get that deal done. Bring Hopkins in here and let's have a party in 2023.
Right.
All right. One more quick Patriots topic because Bobby, I know you do have to go and it is your birthday after all. You should be spending it, you know, having a good time instead of talking Patriots football, but this could be your good time.
It is a good time, man. I love Patriots football, man.
There you go. I'm glad you're having a good time on your birthday talking Patriots football. All right. Last thing. Aaron Rodgers, supposedly there was a rumor that Aaron Rodgers denied a trade to the Patriots and apparently told Bill Belichick, I'll never play for you, Satan. Just real quick, you don't believe that, right? Because I don't either. I think it's too far-fetched. I think it's a good story.
That's dumb. Because first of all, Aaron Rodgers loves Bill Belichick, number one, praises him all the time. If you've ever said, I don't believe that at all. Do I think the Patriots showed interest? I think they called and, you know, kind of kicked the tires. But if they really wanted to do that, they would have did it.
Right.
They would have done it. If they really did not believe in Mac, they would have did it already. Yep. They would have made it happen and not let the Jets do it. Because, look, here's a point. The Jets this year needed an offensive tackle in the draft. What did the Patriots do? They traded away that pick to the Steelers so the Jets couldn't get their guy. Bill Belichick is the ultimate, you know, he always loves sticking it to the Jets.
He's a spite king. He really is. He's the king of spite.
He doesn't want to play Aaron Rodgers two times a year. Who doesn't? There's nothing he could have done. It is what it is. Do I think that he denied a trade to the Patriots? No. Absolutely not. If the Patriots were interested, I guarantee you Aaron Rodgers would have even either taken a visit or definitely would have met with Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick to talk to the team. And I will tell you this, in my opinion, if he had his choice, if the Patriots were interested, either the Jets or Patriots, I think New England would have been it. That's I'm not trying to knock Craig Carton's reporting, whatever he's hearing, that's fine. But I don't believe this one bit. And literally, not any other reporter, Rappaport, Schefter, Fowler, you name it, have confirmed this either. Because the only team I know that showed interest in the Jets, in Aaron Rodgers was the Jets. Maybe the Raiders kicked the tires, but the Patriots did not. They had their quarterback. They have their quarterback in Mac Jones. And also, why would the Patriots do this when Aaron Rodgers is at the back end of his career and they have a rookie, they have a young quarterback who could be there for the next 10, 15 years? Just right. Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. It makes zero sense. You have the confidence in Mac, and even if you didn't like Mac, you have another young quarterback in Bailey Zappe that that the fans liked and could probably do, you know, just as good, if not at least the same as Mac Jones. But again, Mac Jones is QB1. I'm good with it for this year. If he has a bad year this year, then the conversation can be had about moving on from him, because that'll be two bad years in 3 years. Then the conversation's legit. But yeah, I don't buy anything into it. And I think Mike Lombardi even kind of, you know, threw sand over it and was just like, yeah, this didn't happen. It's not true.
Yeah. And there's nobody closer to the Patriots organization on an outsider level than Lombardi.
Right.
He knows. And he even said with the Hopkins thing, he didn't say the Patriots aren't going to get this done. He said there's things that are questions, but he thinks that Belichick really likes him and will get it done.
If they don't get it done, it's a failure. It really is. At this point, it is an absolute failure.
Yeah, it is. And honestly, in my opinion, I think that, you know, no disrespect to Devontae Parker, I like him, but he's not a number one receiver.
No, he's not. And he's injury prone. He can't stay on the field.
Yep, he's a tin man. He doesn't create separation. He's a 50-50 receiver. In the red zone, he's decent, but we need a guy who could be a game changer, and that's just not Devontae Parker, and that's okay. That's fine. So they need a lot more. I do think, though, people are underestimating the addition of Mike Gesicki. I really think he's going to be fantastic in this offense.
I do, too. I'm really looking forward to Gesicki in this offense with Hunter Henry.
I hated playing against him. I really did.
Oh, yeah. He was a matchup nightmare. You couldn't match up with him no matter
who. That's what Belichick said. He's a matchup nightmare.
Well, now you got him on your side. All right, Bobby. Yep. Go enjoy your birthday.
Thanks,
do you want to shout out your socials before we let you go and then we finish this episode?
Yeah, so just follow me on Twitter, BTOMPS81. That's where you'll catch me all the time. And the rest is history, man.
All right. We'll be in touch, Bobby. Always good to have you on with us.
Thank you so much, Alan. I'll talk to you later.
Sounds good, bud. All right, shout out to Bobby Thompson for joining the Legends League podcast once again. Just a wealth of NFL knowledge, especially Patriots knowledge. Love having Bobby on here. And again, happy birthday, Bobby. Enjoy your 31st birthday. You deserve it, my man. All right, before we get into just a couple real quick Celtics and Red Sox tidbits, have some fun at A&B Kitchen and Bar, whether you are at the game or you want to enjoy the game via a great environment. You want some chicken pot pie, you want some wings, you want some burgers, check out A&B Kitchen and Bar and A&B Burgers, two locations, Boston, Mass. And Beverly, Mass. If you are on the North Shore of Massachusetts, make sure to tell them the Legends Boys sent you. Great time, great people, and you'll never forget first time you went to A&B Kitchen and Bar or A&B Burgers. All right, again, just a couple quick hitter thoughts on the Celtics and the Red Sox. Not a lot of Bruins stuff going around, so we're not really going to touch on that. Celtics adding another assistant coach, former guard Phil Pressey, to the staff. So now the Celtics have added Sam Cassell, Charles Lee, and Phil Pressey to Joe Mazzulla's staff. There's been a lot of talk about the guards and who they should get rid of, and they have a surplus of guards. Obviously, Marcus Smart, Derek White, Malcolm Brogdon, Peyton Pritchard. If I'm the Celtics, I think it's easy. I think Peyton Pritchard's the one to go. He's still young enough where you can get some value for him. I know people have argued that Malcolm Brogdon is the piece too, but I would keep Malcolm Brogdon another year. I think if he doesn't get hurt in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think the Celtics win the Eastern Conference Finals and go to the finals against the Denver Nuggets. After that, who knows? But you're not going to get rid of Smart. I mean, he's part of the core. You're not going to get rid of Derek White because you need to play Derek White. He needs to be a starter 82 games next year. You need to start him at the two every single game. As far as trades are concerned, Bradley Beal got traded to the Phoenix Suns. So that sets up a new big three in Phoenix of Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. Look, the Celtics were never going to get him. They were never really interested. The money wouldn't have worked. Jaylen Brown is about to sign a supermax for close to $300 million when it's all said and done. I like Jaylen Brown. I like Jason Tatum. I like them together. Was I mad at Brown the night the Celtics lost in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals and wanted him gone in that moment? Yes. Did I take the time to sleep on it and think about it? Yes. Did I come to a different conclusion after that? Yes. Jaylen Brown needs to stay in Boston. Period. He does. Him and Jason Tatum are the answer. You need to build around them, get them another big, because they have the guards, they have the forwards, they need another big. Al Horford's getting up there in age. Rob Williams, you know, he's athletic, he's dynamic, you know, but you need another center. You need another big body, and you need a guy that can give you significant minutes off the bench. Danilo Gallinari opted in to hit the second year of his deal. I think he's going to be a pleasant surprise next year because he's someone that can come off the bench. He can shoot. He can rebound a little bit. And he gives you a different matchup that teams have to prepare for. So those are just a couple really quick Celtics tidbits and then a couple quick Red Sox tidbits. Number one, Brian Baio becoming the ace of the Red Sox staff. I mean, 7 innings of one-run ball against the Yankees, Sunday Night Baseball. He's got a feel for the changeup still. His other off-speed's coming a long way. His fastball still looks explosive, which is great. Shout-out to Alex Cora winning his 400th game as manager of the Boston Red Sox after the Red Sox defeated the Twins in Minnesota 9-3 on Monday night. Keep Alex Cora here. If one of them needs to go between Cora and Bloom, get rid of Chaim Bloom, please. Alex Cora is a really good manager. When you give him some talent, look at what he did in 2018 winning the World Series and 2021 being 2 games away from the World Series. When you don't have the talent and you trade away guys like Mookie Betts, let guys like Xander Bogaerts walk, trade Andrew Benintendi, trade Hunter Renfro after a great 2021 season for Jackie Bradley Jr., which I still don't understand that trade, then it's on ownership. And guess what? Chaim Bloom, unfortunately, is the guy that's going to have to bite the bullet, and he's going to have to go. Unless they somehow, at the deadline, are right around 500, a little over 500, they're fighting for a wild card spot. He goes out and gets a couple pieces, preferably a couple starting pitchers, to help them for, you know, a playoff run, potentially. Then maybe you can have the conversation of keeping Chaim Bloom. One name to look out for as we get close to the trade deadline, Shane Bieber in Cleveland. He's a guy I really like, guy that has a low ERA, and someone that knows how to compete in the American League. I would love the Red Sox to get Shane Bieber, and he can be right up in the front end of the rotation. You can have him with guys like Baio and Paxton. Hopefully Sale will be able to help you in the stretch run when he comes back in September. So we'll see what happens there. I think that's pretty much it, though. Again, rate and subscribe to the Legends Lingo podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and everywhere else where you can get your podcasts. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Lingo Legends. Also, make sure to follow Student Union Sports at Student Union Sports on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and everywhere else where you can consume your content. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, Powder will be back with us. Maybe we'll have a guest on with us again. Maybe we won't. Who knows? But until then, I'm your host, Alan Hegan. Thank you for watching, and thank you for listening to episode 226. We'll see you next week for episode 227. Yes, sir.